It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh, buddy, folks. It is Friday, July 24th. And my headphones were turned all the way up, so when the intro started playing, it hurt. So sorry about that. Thank you so much for tuning in. And it's the end of another week. I feel like we're doing good. The Circle of Hope, the Hope Conference, is going to start up tomorrow. And it runs for 9 days, which means that I'll be recording the show. I'll probably be pre-recording the show, just so that I can... If I have something happening the next day on 1900 UTC, I'll throw it on there. So anyway, just as a heads up, my com is mad because it cannot create /com/commode/, it can't create the history file, but whatever, we do what we want. The Guardian let me down, so I got my July 10th, edition of the magazine, but I have not yet gotten the July 17th or the 24th edition of the magazine, so I expect those will probably show up in another week or two, since it's coming from the UK and the US Postal Service doesn't have any money. It takes a little while for these packages to arrive. Instead, and kind of fitting, I grabbed the latest 2600 that I had, which is the spring 2020. I think this is the latest one. This is the spring 2020, volume 37, number 1 of 2600, the Hacker Quarterly. And I was just going to read a story out of here. A short one. I subscribe to read the Prophets article, but... we'll just read a short one here, and this is called Thoughts for a Newcomer by Leon G. When I got my first computer for my 11th birthday in 2014, oh my god, I'm old, I didn't immediately understand how to fully utilize the access to the machine I had just gotten. I had vague notions of learning how to program and setting up Minecraft servers for my friends and me to play on. That is to say that I am a relatively new player in this game, and am writing naively and idealistically about one of the only interests I've ever held for more than 6 months. Firstly, the whiny part where I say it's not as easy for us as it was for the early guys. The biggest obstacle that I have found is just all the baggage and information that exists, which is both a blessing and a curse. When I say us, I mean the newcomers, the people my age growing up in the current climate of the walled gardens and popular culture stifling of exploratory computing. We are no longer pioneers and must follow in someone else's path to lead them. The mainstays of the culture have been formed and for the most part agreed upon years before our parents even met. In a way, we are lucky. I can associate myself with people and ideas that have been tested. I'm not taking many risks as the early hackers were. However, the stories of glory and the connotations picked up by popular culture have strengthened. In essence, like every other person that has participated in a culture of any kind, we the newcomers must learn how to process the old cultural material, be that old music, old files, etc., but also learn how to move forward and define the hacking experience for ourselves. My second point is related to my first, and is essentially this. The muddiness introduced by old cultural material is offset by how inclusive and willing to share and collaborate most of the hacking community is. Publications like 2600 and online groups provide an entering point, with anyone willing to put in some hours and contribute. And that is one of the most important parts of the hacking community to me. It's a place where I can share ideas and projects. that the people around me at school and family do not necessarily appreciate themselves. Out of the school of 2,000 kids I go to, only two have shown even a slight interest in the kind of geekery I subject them to on a daily basis. However, online, I show milk 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 5. Ugh. There's a little delay in my microphone, and so it's speech jamming me. It's kind of annoying. I show milk 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, my bad character heuristic implementation, and they'll actually respond with enthusiasm. It's an awesome feeling. 2600, hackerspaces, and all the other places, physical and not, make this world more inclusive and safer for us. Hackerdom is a culture of seeing what's around the corner, and creativity, a place of free thinking, built on the foundation of inclusiveness and being passionate about what one does. Thank you so much. So, magic. I just thought that was a good little article, kind of from the new school. Someone who was... It's just so funny. It was like... He was 11 in 2014. So it's like, oh... Let's see, let's make sure. Yeah, 11th birthday, 2014. So 2003, which means that they're 17 now. What a world, what a world. Well, oh, come on. I am so agitated with alerts and the incessant persistence that Discord, Matrix, Slack, all of these chat, XMPP, Jabber, it's like, there's no don't send me alerts while I'm doing something. You have to, it's like, you have to go and talk to the system, and it gets, agitates me. But what do we do when you get riled up? That's right, when you get riled up, you play some music. So, let's go ahead here. What do we want? We want something mellow. Oh, I know. Where is it? There it is. All right, so if you didn't notice, I like the Beatles quite a bit. I grew up listening to them, I guess. So anyway, here is a song called... Oh, Darling. Yeah, there it is. Here we go.
Oh, darling, please believe me, I'll never do you no harm. Believe me when I tell you, I'll never do you no harm. Believe.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
And welcome. I am indeed DJ Marcus. And let's talk about headlines. So there are, no doubt you've picked this up about me, but there are dozens and dozens of tabs open. So we're going to run through the news, and then when we hit time, we'll change subjects. So, all right, and big shout out to Exiled in the comm. Thanks for listening live. So here we go. This is from opensource.com. I typically like to say free or libre open source software, but opensource.com, they have a story here. Student Linux Club refurbishes computers to support distance learning. So it was March 17th, 2020, and I was in my class poon at Aspen Academy. The clock was ticking. This was going to be the last day of school before we, along with every other public school in Minnesota, would close due to the outbreak. I had students in my room during lunch, advisory periods, and my elective classes all doing the same thing, installing Linux onto old computers so we could give them to students who would use them for school at home during the shelter-in-place. I was only going to have the kids help me until dismissal time, but in the end, we had 17 computers ready to go. It was a start. Hi, I'm Stu Kuroff. I'm a social studies and technology teacher at Aspen Academy in Savage, Minnesota. I am also the director of the Penguin Corps, our school's Linux club. When we started the club back in September 2019, I wanted the kids at my new school to take on the same type of mission that the kids at my last school had, using Linux to close the digital divide. The Penguin Corps gave away a few computers during the year, but nothing had prepared us for what was coming. So, it's exciting in general. The kids come together, they refurbish some computers, and got them to people. I totally encourage you to check out opensource.com for this article from July 20th, or you can check out linuxclubguide.com, linuxclubguide.com, and that's his kind of plug for a site to learn how to start your own Linux clubs in school. So, pretty rad. Okay. Oh, shucks. This is not the right. I opened up the wrong collection of tabs. Oh, no. Let's go ahead and relaunch Firefox. Tell it to open the right folder of tabs, of bookmarks. Today. All right, open all the tabs. Open tabs. It'll just take a second while that loads up. So, while we get our news downloaded, what a trip. All right. Boom, 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 boom. We are ready. And, come on. My terminal No? Okay. Sure. Yep. Tab fails. All right. Here's the news. From all sides. This is from today. And is this supposed to be a center-based article? Olympia, Washington. On a rainy June day, the manager of a Motel 6 outside Olympia decided one guest had to leave. Hi, X1. The woman had been smoking indoors and had an unauthorized visitor. She appeared to be on drugs and was acting erratically. Normally, that manager might call 911, which would bring the police officers to the scene. If the guest refused to leave, the cops might handcuff her and arrest her for trespassing. They could find an open warrant on her record or drugs in her room. The interaction could easily... Sorry. The interaction could easily escalate into violence, especially if the woman grew angry over facing jail time or another night on the streets. It's kind of low-level quality of life call that takes up much of an officer's day. But over a year ago, Olympia started taking a different approach to nonviolent incidents caused by someone experiencing mental illness, addiction, or homelessness. Instead of sending armed officers to respond, the city dispatches crisis responders to defuse the situation and connect the individual with services, a model now being considered by a growing number of cities across the U.S. So, another side of the world. Hell yeah. So, here we go. So, that's Olympia, Washington. They send crisis responders. I wish that I could go in-depth, but 30 minutes means we just kind of touch on the story, and then I tell you where you can get it. So, we'll keep on rolling. Now, let's see. This is a left-wing article from Above the Law, which is a fun site to read. But the title is, No, Proactive Arrests Are Not a Thing. There's no such thing as a proactive arrest. There is no such thing as a non-custodial arrest, where an individual is transported to another location and detained. There's no such thing as probable cause because a person was standing in a group of several hundred people, five or six of whom are suspected of a crime. It's not how any of those things work. And yet, Chad Wolf, our acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, explained to Fox News, It was so frustrating, yeah, because SMJ's in the house. It's so frustrating because they admit that they're doing things that are 100% like not constitutional, but then just like, yeah, so whatever. So he said his agents simply have to snatch random black-clad kids off the streets of Portland because those mean Democratic mayors won't welcome his stormtroopers. This is so biased, but it's great. The stormtroopers into their cities with open arms. Wolf, who has no law enforcement or legal background, of course, made his name championing DHS's family separation policy, has consistently described large crowds of overwhelmingly peaceful protesters as violent anarchists, which is handy wordsmithing, since it recasts the demand that police stop killing black people as a call to overthrow the government, while simultaneously imputing criminals to thousands of people at once to justify proactive arrests. So, this is covered in several sites and several headlines, but basically this Fox News interview, shows that the DHS, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, is, one, doesn't know what his job is, what the laws are, but he's in charge of a huge military force. So good luck if you're out there. Good luck to me saying, you know, fuck the police and stuff. I'm sure I will get disappeared one day. So something that I found that I thought was really cool is there's a site called fairobserver.com, and they try and do balanced news and more in-depth analysis. And one of them that they put out in June that I just found that I really enjoyed was something called How Will COVID-19 Shape Our Society? And in this, it's like, just like the headline is, or the tagline is, just like the world wars in the previous century, the coronavirus pandemic is dramatically transforming our societies. This 360-degree context article explains the social impact of COVID-19. Yeah, so it's pretty, it's like I said, it's an in-depth article, but I just wanted to totally recommend it. It's called fairobserver.com. Speaking of free speech and getting arrested or disappeared, this article is from whowhatwhy.org. It's controversial, credible, courageous. It's another independent news blog or site. This is the high cost of free speech. There's a photo accompanying it that's great. Cory Doctorow took it a couple of years ago. But it's like, demonstrations prohibited in this area. Please proceed to the free speech zone. And so, in our good friends, in our good national capital, and a few other spots, there are designated free speech zones, and that's the only place you can protest. Otherwise, you're going to get arrested. Common theme. Here we go. Stanley Fish is one of our nation's most noted academics on the subject of free speech. Amid battles over the internet, cancel culture, and political unrest, Professor Fish joins us on this week's Who, What, Why podcast. Fish, the Davidson Kahn Distinguished University Professor of Humanities and Law at Florida International University, and a visiting professor of law at Cardozo University, argues that current arguments over the practice of free speech and how we define it reflect thorny questions we've been dealing with for over 250 years. Yeah, there's... Sorry, in the chat, or com. Yeah, totally. You know, there are free speech zones. You can check them out. Cory Doctorow's photo is probably pretty great, though. All right. Fish explains the difference between how free speech applies to the government and how it governs your relationship to your employer, and why free speech is such an issue in the academy when the opposite should be true. So then it's an article, what's the purge thing called? A transcript of the interview. But check out Who, What, Why if you want to catch the rest of that story. I dig it a lot. And really, Friday is kind of the day I look at longer form news, which I realize is probably not conducive to a quick news show. But sorry. ProPublica, I'll just tell you these big news stories, and then I'll play a song, and then we'll do some shorter news. ProPublica has a feature about where will everyone go? And with climate change happening, the big thing is, where are people going to move as certain areas move out of the growth band for staple foods? People are going to move where the food will grow. And so now we're going to see, kind of explores what happens. So it's really interesting. I don't want to read these. So we're going to play a song, and then we're going to jump back in and talk about, I think almost all my headlines are U.S., almost all are U.S. I've got one international. So let's see. Let's just say I'm sorry, and here, let's do this one. Oh, yeah, I love this song. This is the Hollies with Bus Stop. We'll be right back.
DJ Marcus. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Okay. It's time to run through not the banana cha-cha from Momoland, because that's going to come up with Tobe in just a couple minutes. Banana-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Oh, gets stuck in my head and in comms. All right, so let's run through headlines. We got 3 minutes. We're going to do it. This is not new, and that is the problem. AOC gives a powerful speech against misogyny in response to being called a fucking bitch by GOP lawmaker. So, if you didn't know, AOC got called a fucking bitch by a representative outside of Congress, and or outside the House of Representatives, and then she went to the House floor and called him out about it. So, good for her, and hopefully the boys' club learns to keep its fucking mouth shut and maybe get better. Our next up, independent news here. IRA terrorist behind a 1993 bombing of police station near Belfast deported from Boston. Darcy McMiniman, released under the Good Friday Agreement, had been living illegally in the U.S. since at least 2007. U.S. Immigration deported a convicted IRA terrorist found living in Massachusetts. So, good luck. Alabama prison officers use cruel and unusual punishment on inmates, the DOJ says. DOJ. The speech, I gotta fix my latency on my microphone, because this is making me crazy. Oh, snap. Howdy, Jazzmaz. Man, it's leaking into my brain. All right, Alabama prison officers used cruel and unusual punishment on inmates, Department of Justice says. Our investigations found reasonable cause to believe that there is a pattern or practice of using excessive force against prisoners in Alabama's prisons for men, department says. I'll leave the gruesome details to you. Okay, the Slate also loves AOC's speech and is reporting Trump's private army is scarier than you think. So it was originally published on Just Security, an online forum for analysts of U.S. national security and security law and policy. It doesn't take a legal expert to know what's happening in Portland, Oregon is an abuse of power. When unidentified federal forces dressed as soldiers pull people off the streets in unmarked vans, something is gravely wrong. So if you want more of that, hit up the Slate, slate.com. Violent anarchists, yeah. Dr. Fauci took his mask off.